We're taking a look at last night's Democratic debate in Flint, and we'll also review what happened at the Republicans' debate last Thursday in Detroit. Joining us to discuss the debates and looking ahead to tomorrow's primary, the Michigan Public Radio Network's Rick Pluta. Hi, Rick.
Good morning, Scott.
Good to have you on the show. Nancy Kaffer is also with us. Nancy is with the Detroit Free Press. Good morning, Nancy.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here, too. Let's start, Nancy, with a look at last night's debate in Flint between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, which you attended. I know that they spent a lot of time talking about the Flint water crisis. Give us a sense, for people who didn't see the debate, give us a sense for how much time they spent talking about Flint and what the content of that conversation was.
They spent much more time talking about Flint than I had imagined that they would. And, you know, as Bernie Sanders has called before for Governor Snyder to step down over this, over the handling of the Flint water crisis, last night Secretary Clinton also added her call for Governor Snyder to step down and supported the recall efforts that are underway in the state to remove him from office. You know, a lot of it talked about, how to help kids, the importance of helping kids, the tragedy that's happened to kids. But, you know, a few specifics, which is not really surprising when you're talking about national figures who have sort of the 30,000-foot view of what's happening in a very local situation. So it was interesting. It was very nice to see residents of Flint brought up to ask questions of these folks. That's not an opportunity that your average resident of any town in the country typically gets to question a presidential candidate. And it was really nice to see Flint residents integrated as a real part of the debate and not trotted out for a photo op and then taken back into the audience.
It talked over almost. Talking over them, like talking over their heads to the candidates, letting them join the conversation is all I meant by that. As you mentioned, Sanders had already called on Governor Snyder to resign, but Hillary Clinton last night agreed, and for the first time, she also called for Governor Snyder to resign. Let's hear some of that audio.
His dereliction of duty was irresponsible. He should resign.
I agree. The governor should resign or be recalled, and we should...
Rick Pluta, was that expected? Were we expecting Hillary Clinton to join the call for Governor Snyder to step down?
No, in fact, previously she had said that that sort of rhetoric was just political and not realistic. So it's interesting that she joined the call. But I don't know that you can go to Flint these days and try to defend Rick Snyder.
For Democratic voters, do you think it matters who went first, so to speak, in calling on Governor Snyder to step down? Either of you?
I think for Flint voters it might.
I think there's probably a small percentage of voters to whom that kind of thing is really significant. Probably folks who really, maybe folks who are really already committed to a candidate want to use it as a way to show that their candidate is better because they were on the issue first. But I think for a lot of people, that distinction is not, for a general audience, that distinction is maybe not as sharp as the folks who would like to promote one line over the other would like it to be.
And I think the more time that goes by, the less significant it becomes who went first.
Right. And, tomorrow it's only a day or two. That's part of why I asked the question. Sanders and Clinton also clashed over the auto bailout. We have some audio of that, too. We're going to hear first from Hillary Clinton.
I voted to save the auto industry. He voted against the money that ended up saving the auto industry.
And here's Bernie Sanders.
Secretary Clinton supported virtually every one of these disastrous trade agreements written by corporate America.
Nancy Kaffer, can you shed some light maybe on what the root of the argument is here over the auto bailout?
It's pretty simple. Yes, simple. We're going to talk about TARP, and it's going to be simple. After the 2008 crash, there was a bailout package that included money to would help the auto industry and money that would help the big banks. Sanders was opposed. Clinton supported that. I mean, that's really there's a lot more. really simplifying the whole thing here, but that's basically what happened there. I was surprised. surprised. If I were Bernie Sanders, I would have wanted to move on from that conversation as quickly as possible, because while he has been consistent in his opposition to bank bailouts and his interest in breaking up the big banks, et cetera, this is something that's really hits home for people in Michigan. The auto crisis, the financial crisis and the near collapse of the auto industry was really recent, and it's a really fresh memory, I think, for a lot of people here. And that I'm not sure how well it flies to oppose the bailout on principle because of the banks, when this is a matter for a lot of people of losing their livelihood. Once again, I thought that if I were Senator Sanders, I would have wanted to leave that topic behind as quickly as possible. And obviously, Secretary Clinton.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Yeah, you would think the. I'm sorry.
No, you. Go, Rick.
Rick, go ahead.
I was just going to say that the distinction was both rhetorical and about priorities. That Senator Clinton was saying she voted for the auto rescue, and Bernie Sanders said he voted against the Wall Street bailout, and it almost became just the two of them repeating that line over and over and over again. Clearly, it was more important for Bernie Sanders to vote against the Wall Street bailout, and it was more important for Secretary Clinton to vote for the auto rescue.
Well, you know, a lot of people.
A pretty good summation of the sort of nature of the candidates. People love Bernie Sanders because he's an idealist, and the people who love Hillary Clinton love her because she's a pragmatist. And I thought that was a really nice encapsulation of the way that they approach an issue.
The auto bailout was a big thing that hurt Mitt Romney in Michigan 4 years ago, though, didn't it?
Sure.
Absolutely. But it. Your turn, Nancy.
He did. He wrote that op-ed in the New York Times with the headline "Let Detroit Go Bankrupt." Let Detroit Go Broke. Or Let Detroit Go Bankrupt. Anyway, it was the headline was not as inflammatory as the piece was, and sort of what he wrote was a lot of what wound up happening. But it really turned voters off. Nobody likes to be told. I mean, I remember very clearly, even as a reporter covering this stuff, just how stressful it was and how concerning it was and how scary it was. And I think probably everyone, that's still a pretty recent feeling for all of us here who were whose lives are so entwined with the auto industry's economic presence in the state.
Rick, what kind of surprises did you see last night? Anything really surprise you last night, Rick?
I don't think there were any big surprises last night that the candidates behaved true to form. One of the things that was interesting, I thought, was the whole debate over the Wall Street bailout versus the automotive rescue, and I thought it was very interesting how much time they spent on Flint urban policy, things that really matter to the city where the debate was located, where the Republican debate was a lot different. It was largely a Trump takedown. Just 7.5 minutes of that debate was spent on actual Michigan, Detroit, Flint kinds of things.
Yeah, when Detroit and other places, it was Flint, that kind of thing came up in the Republican debate, it was like failure of liberal government, next.
Right.
There was not a lot of real discussion. I personally was surprised in last night's debate. Did it not seem to you like they just spent a god-awful long time talking about the Export-Import Bank, which I'm pretty sure was probably the first time that most of America learned that we had an Export-Import Bank? It's something that I'm pretty wonky, and I have a hard time kind of keeping my eyelids propped open to discussions of the XM Bank. That just seemed like an interminable period of time. Maybe I'll feel differently about the XM Bank, but that was surprising to me. If you'd asked me, what do you think are the most likely things to have come up in a presidential debate, that would have been like maybe 500th on my list.
Although it is a critical difference between the two of them.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. A critical difference that five people care about.
Maybe more people should.
Well, I think a lot more people care about that, but five people know about. I mean, it's a fair point.
Yes,
it's just one of the things that separates them.
We're talking with Nancy Kaffer of the Detroit Free Press and Rick Pluta of the Michigan Public Radio Network about presidential politics in Michigan, with the presidential primary in the state coming up tomorrow. Nancy, the Flint water crisis also came up at the Republican debate last week. Let's talk a little bit about how the Republicans are doing on getting the details of the crisis right compared to the Democrats last night. Do you have a sense for that?
Yeah, I mean, the Republican debate, there were a lot of the responses when they were asked about DPS or Flint or Detroit Public Schools or Flint or Detroit, really, really, I thought there could have been a little more studying up. I felt like Democrats had a better grasp on the facts. Though, when the city of Detroit came up, Bernie Sanders' campaign has recently put out this a couple of tweets that attempt to link Detroit's financial problems to NAFTA, which is a real weird misfire, showing, you know, there's a tweet he's put out that has pictures of four blighted buildings and saying, you know, people of Detroit understand the impact of Hillary Clinton's trade policies. You know, I mean, obviously anyone who studied Detroit's history is aware that Detroit's decline began in the 60s, which is well before NAFTA in the early 90s, and then got worse with the auto industry downturn in the early 80s, once again well before NAFTA. And a lot of the houses, you know, the buildings pictured in this tweet, I'm told a couple have been demolished. One has been rehabbed. It's a real strange. I mean, you can talk about the impact of NAFTA on manufacturing in general, but to link it directly to what happened to Detroit is not. I've yet to talk to anyone who thinks that's a legitimate cause and effect.
We want to hear a little audio from
the around in the general election campaign.
I'm sorry, Rick. Go ahead. What was that?
I was going to say, look for that one to come back around in the general election campaign when it's most likely going to be, you know, Hillary versus you know, whoever the Republican is, and that can be resurrected and shown. This is what, you know, what Hillary does to what Hillary's economic policies do to cities, according to Bernie Sanders.
We do want to hear a little audio from the Republican debate last week in Detroit. First of all, they did touch on some Michigan issues. Here's Ted Cruz on Detroit.
Detroit is a great city with a magnificent legacy that has been utterly decimated by 60 years of failed left-wing policies.
Also, John Kasich spoke about some suggestions he has for the schools in Detroit.
Fixing schools rests at the state and the local level, and particularly at the school board level. Now, I also believe that you need to introduce vocational education in those schools.
And also, when it came to Governor Snyder, Marco Rubio had some comments.
I don't think that someone woke up one morning and said, let's figure out how to poison the water system to hurt someone. But accountability is important. I will say I give the governor credit. He took responsibility for what happened. And he's talked about people being held accountable and the need to change this, Governor Snyder.
Rick Pluta, tell us your response or your sense of the crowd response to those messages last week.
Well, you could hear it, but, you know, the core Republican establishment, you know, believes that Rick Snyder is sort of being hung out to dry on this, that he's being blamed for a lot of things that were not strictly state problems. And so, you know, Marco Rubio wasn't losing points with this particular crowd or the Republican base by saying that. Now, of course, a lot of other people, you know, think differently about it, including all those Democrats in Flint who cheered when Sanders and Clinton called for Snyder to quit or be recalled.
Nancy Kaffer of the Detroit Free Press, did Trump talk about these Michigan issues much last week at the debate?
No, I thought it was interesting when they went to ask questions. You know, the question about Detroit public schools was addressed specifically to Kasich, which I thought was interesting that these questions were framed kind of away from the front runner. Kasich, of course, led off with some wrong answers. He said that he believed the mayor was now in charge of Detroit schools, which isn't true. And then he mentioned that important pieces to help Detroit schools were charter schools and school choice vouchers. Well, we have a lot of charter schools, and actually the sort of proliferation of charter schools and some real accountability questions have not been helping the Detroit school situation. And school vouchers are obviously not constitutional in Michigan. So that was once again why, you know, some sort of misfires about what was going on there. What I think is interesting about what Ted Cruz was talking about, you know, quote unquote, 60 years of failed liberal policies, in a campaign where there's been an awful lot of racially tinged rhetoric or outright, you know, racially focused rhetoric from some candidates on the Republican side, candidates need to be very careful about the fact that 60 years of liberal policies also dovetails with the rise of African-American elected political leaders in the city of Detroit. And I think people GOP candidates seem to be really careful how they kind of paint those years and whether or not they're painting into a narrative that has some real alienating aspects for minority voters.
I want to get in one last real quick question, just a minute or so, you two. The recent polls from CBS and 538 are predicting Trump and Clinton victories in Michigan yesterday. Do either of you think that anything that's been said in these debates in Flint last night and in Detroit last week will have an impact on those results? Are those the results you're expecting tomorrow? Nancy?
Yeah, we had a Free Press. The Free Press did a poll. We found that Hillary Clinton had a sizable lead over Sanders, I think 25 points. I think Hillary Clinton has she's got a good organization here in Michigan. I don't think anything. There was no big game changer from the debate. Our poll found that Trump was only leading by 10 points here, which is surprising, considering how poll results are coming out in other places. And once again, I think he fared about the same as he does in every debate, which is he's loud and blustery and doesn't have much to say in the way of real substance. But people seem to love that. So I don't expect anything that happened there to be a game changer either.
Is that your sense too, Rick Pluta?
By and large, although I wonder that you know, the Detroit Fox News debate, you know, was largely sort of a truth squad effort on Donald Trump. And I wonder if that won't, chip away maybe at a little bit of his support. But I don't think that it would have any substantial change.
We've been talking with the Michigan Public Radio Network's Rick Pluta and Nancy Kaffer of the Detroit Free Press about the Democratic debate in Flint last night, as well as last Thursday's Republican debate in Detroit, ahead of tomorrow's presidential primary in Michigan. Rick, Nancy, thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.